Turning to Psalm 3, and we will commence at the start of this psalm. It is a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. The title is in the Hebrew text, and it reminds us of that occasion whenever David had problems with his son. His son was seeking to take over the kingdom, and that's the historical context of this psalm. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? And many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth off the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his precious word this evening. Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And that title, as I've said, sets the historical context for this psalm. And that event is recorded for us in 2 Samuel chapter 15. And of course, we go back to that passage. We're looking at 2 Samuel 13 as well. There's a lot of details, a lot of historical context as to what happened in the kingdom at that time. But Absalom attempted to take the throne of David. And as a result of his actions, King David flees from Jerusalem for safety and for refuge. We see David's grief in 2 Samuel 15, verse 30, where the word of God tells us, and David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and wept as he went up, and had his head covered. And he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. There was grief after what had happened. David's life was in danger, because his son was on the throne. And that throne was not secure as long as David was alive. And the enemy he faced was his own son. The ties and the love and the bond of a family had been torn asunder by what had taken place. And those events in 2 Samuel 15, we don't want to spend a lot of time on these events specifically. But we see that they came about as a result of sin in the house of David. And that perhaps is a good summary of what happened. These things were a result of sin. In 2 Samuel 13, there was the sin of Absalom. There was a murder that was plotted by Absalom. There was sin. The sin of David as well was involved here. And the commentator said that David's family trouble is reaping what he had sown. Sin has consequences. David and Bathsheba, and we are aware of what had happened there, David's sin, and we find in 2 Samuel 12 that David is told, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me. And the Lord goes on to say, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. And we see that happening with what Absalom was doing. Sin has its consequences. And that is an important lesson for us. Sin has its consequences. Galatians 6 verses 6 to 7 reminds us, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Sin has its consequences. Godliness has its consequences also. But sin has its consequences. And the whole situation reminds us that even the most godly, David was referred to in Acts 13, verse 22, as a man after mine own heart. The Lord is speaking, a man after mine own heart. Even the godly King David, fell into sin and faced the consequences of his sin. And that is a lesson for us, that we can fall into sin, that we can be taken by the snare of the evil one, that we must discern and we must live that life that is close to the Lord. We must flee sin, for sin can easily take its toll upon us. Even the most godly can fall into sin. Dear believer, that is a warning to us. Never think that you've arrived at the point of godliness where you don't need to worry about sin anymore. Whether that is the Lord ignoring your sin, whether that is the fact that you think you're sinless, we need to be concerned about our sin. Yes, Christ has covered our sins, but we should have that desire to flee sin, to avoid sin, to live righteously in the commandments of the Lord. And sin, of course, has its consequences. It has its consequences for us personally. It has its consequences in our families. Sin will also have its consequences for the Church of Christ. Many churches have had their testimonies hindered because of sin. Sin among the members, sin in the leadership, sin with the pastor. All these things can cause the hindrance of the testimony of Christ's church in the local community. And it has happened. It has happened. And we need to be discerning and we need to be careful, because sin has its consequences. May we pray for one another. May we love one another. May we have that bond between us, that we're upholding each other and we're seeking together to flee sin for the good, not only of ourselves and our families, but for the good of the testimony of Christ. Because the devil seeks to disrupt, and the devil seeks to cause division and cause problems, and desires to see us fall into those sins by which he seeks to tempt us by. Sin has its consequences. And we see David in Psalm 3 dealing with these consequences. And I want us to consider this evening encouragement in the midst of discouragement. Encouragement in the midst of discouragement. David is discouraged by what has taken place, and he is looking to the Lord for help. And that is his encouragement in the middle of what is taking place that is discouraging to him. And there are three lessons that I want us to understand, three thoughts in this psalm. And firstly, we must always bring our troubles to the Lord. That's what this psalm is reminding us. We must always bring our troubles to the Lord. We often bottle things up. And we sometimes don't tell our friends or our family a problem that we have, and we keep it inside and it grows, and it's as if the pressure is on it and it's building and building and building. And our troubles and our trials are not to be like that, because we must be bringing them to the Lord in prayer. And this is what David does here. Yes, he had sinned. And these consequences, this situation was a consequence of sin. But we find him now, in this point in his life, looking again to the Lord and seeking the Lord. And he had repented of that sin, but there were still consequences as well. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. David brings his troubles to the Lord. He fled Jerusalem. But when we find David here, he has a confidence in God. He's looking to the Lord. He knows who his God is.
Despite the trouble and despite the situation in which he finds himself, he still has that confidence in God. He was far from the place where once he communed with God, but he cries unto him in his distress. And as believers, we must always look to the Lord for help and comfort. As God's people, we do not find our comfort in this world. We should not find our comfort in this world. Our ultimate comfort comes from the God of heaven. And David turns to his God for the help that he knows that God can give in this situation. He acknowledges that his enemies are many. Verse 1. How are they increased that trouble me, and many are they that rise up against me. Absalom had stolen the hearts of the people. The people had shown a lack of loyalty to their king. The enemy had set themselves against God's anointed king with a malicious intent. And then, verse 2, something is implied. Many there be which say of my soul, which say of me, David is saying, there is no help for him in God. So confident was the foe that they were turning round and saying, God can't help the king. God is powerless to deliver David. There's no hope for him. His God cannot save him now. It is too late, and his God is helpless. And that is an attack, not merely on David. It's an attack on the person of God. It's an attack on who he is. It's a blasphemous attack upon the God of heaven. And the enemy wanted to discourage the king, and they schemed to turn him away from the Lord because the Lord would make the difference. The Lord would make the difference for the king. They did not want David praying. They sought to discourage him. They sought to bring him to a point where he agreed with them that God's not going to help. I'm not going to turn to him. And our enemies seek to do that. They want to turn our eyes away from God. They want us to feel that our God cannot help, cannot step into the situation. And dear believer, we are to have the confidence David had because he turns to the God of heaven in prayer. He uses that word, Selah. It's used 3 times in this psalm, and it refers to or implies a pause. Some say it refers to the suspension of music. Some say it refers to the sense of the psalm. But we can see that at certain points in this psalm, there is to be a thoughtful and a solemn pause. There is to be silence, and we are to think about what has been said or what has been sung and consider it and meditate upon it. And we have this at the end of verse 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. And when we pause there and think upon that, well, we think it's wrong because God is omnipotent. We think it's wrong because God is the help of his servant. And we are to think of Satan and his devices that are trying to discourage the servant of God. And we are to dismiss this idea that there is no help for us in God. And so, dear believer, let us be encouraged that though the enemy seeks to discourage us, we are always to turn to our God in the day of trouble. And then secondly, I want you to see we must always have a confidence in our God. We must always have a confidence in our God. David counters the malicious attacks of the enemy upon the helping hand of God with a reminder of who God is to him and what God has done for him. Verse 3 reminds us of this. But thou, O Lord. So the context is, David, God's not going to help you. The very next line, but thou, O Lord. In opposition to this, countering this. O Lord, thou art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. And when we are discouraged and downcast, and there are those around us who are trampling over God and his name and his work, how encouraging it is for us to remind ourselves of who God is. David did this before, I believe, when he faced the giant Goliath. He reminded himself that God had helped him in the past. God had helped them defeat the beasts that were seeking to take the sheep and the lambs. God had given him that strength and that help that he needed. And now the same God would give him help against the one who defied the God of heaven, Goliath of Gath. Here David is reminding himself again who God is to him. Dear believer, we must always have a confidence in our Lord, and we must always remember who he is to us, who he is to his people. There's this reference to the Lord in capital letters that reminds us in our authorized version, it's Jehovah here, self-existent, eternal. There's a mighty power in view that has been questioned by the enemy. And so David's saying, O Lord, thou art Jehovah, the eternal one, the self-existent one, the one who has all power, in opposition to those who say he can't help. But he goes on in verse 3, he mentions three things. Firstly, the Lord is David's shield. These words, art a shield for me, could be rendered in the Hebrew as about me. Thou art a shield about me. God was the shield about or around David. And David often spoke in military terms. In Psalm 18 verse 2, he spoke similar words as well. And he used these things to emphasize the security and the protection that came from his God. The Lord had been a shield to him in the past. The Lord had been his protection in the past. He knew that. He could give examples. He could give reasons. He doesn't do that here, but he could give examples. He knew that the Lord was his shield. Dear believer, the Lord is our shield. He's our protector. He's the one who is around us, caring for us and sustaining us and strengthening us. He is a shield that no man can break. No man can break. He is David's glory also. My glory. David had lost his throne, albeit on a temporary basis, as Scripture will show us. But there were definite grounds for disgrace. The king had been replaced by his own son. But whether he was the king or not the king, David's glory was not himself. It was not his throne. It was not what God had given to him. But it was God himself was David's glory. And though these circumstances in life would have been disgraceful to him and troubling and trying, and he looked at the future, perhaps unsure as to what would unfold, his glory in this time of trouble was not the throne that he had lost. It was his God. And dear believer, the same is true with us. Whether we have a throne or not, or whatever we have in life, God should be our glory first and foremost. The Apostle Paul boasted that in Galatians 6 verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory and boast in a good sense. And when we think here of the apostle, he's boasting or glorying in a good sense, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wouldn't glory in anything else but Christ and the cross of Christ and the gospel of Christ. He was glorying in his God. And that is vital for us to note that in Scripture we find individuals like Paul who suffered greatly for the cause of Christ. And was downtrodden of men for the cause of Christ. And David, who lost his throne, these men still gloried in who God was. That was important to them. Dear believer, in our times of discouragement, there's encouragement when we look at our God. He is our glory. He is the one we glory in. If we lost everything tonight, would we still glory in God? Yes, it would be difficult. Yes, we could be concerned about future days. And our provision. But let us leave it in the hands of God, because he is our glory. He is the one who is for us. He is our help. And we see that at the end of verse 3, David says, and the lifter up of mine head, the lifter up of mine head, his head was cast low. But he believed that God would raise it up again. that God would lift him, that God would help him. There was joy, there was an assurance here that God would be with him. And dear believer, in the great troubles of life, the people of God can lift their heads, knowing that all will be well with them. Romans 8 reminds us that all things work together for good. All things work together for good. And Isaiah 3 verse 10 reminds us that it will be well with the righteous. It is ill with the wicked, but it is well with the righteous. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. The strength was given, the lifting up of his head. He rejoiced in this. He had a confidence in his God. Never lose that confidence in God. Pray to the Lord. Seek him that by his grace and through his Spirit that you would have that confidence. That you would live your life confident in who God is to you. To you. And finally, thirdly and finally, I want you to see that I want you to see that we always receive comfort from our Lord. We always receive comfort from our Lord. And we see that here in verse 4. And we have another Selah. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And what does the psalmist say? He heard me out of his holy hill. Pause, think, meditate. That is what the psalmist is saying. There's all these issues. God is this to me. And I rejoice and have confidence in this. And I cried to the Lord. And he heard me. Pause. Think on this. Rejoice in this. The Lord hears the cries of his children. The Lord hears the cries of his children. Matthew Henry made three key points concerning the comfort which David found in the Lord. And he looked at various Psalms as well. And he said that David's troubles always brought him to his knees in prayer. He always found God ready to answer his prayers. And he had always been safe under divine protection. Oh, we see here verse 5 and 6. I laid me down and slept, I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Not just 10,000s of people. We can think of a great crowd of people and being lost within that crowd. But David says, I'm not going to be afraid of those people. I'm not going to be afraid of those people who have set themselves against me. I'm not just in the crowd. They're against me. And I will not be afraid. He knew the comfort of the Lord. He knew the grace of the Lord. He knew the Lord's blessings were upon him. He knew that salvation belongs to the Lord. Verse 7, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah, pause and meditate on this. These are words of triumph. He knew the comfort of the Lord. He knew the help of the Lord. And dear believer, in our times of trouble, let us always seek the Lord's comfort. It lifts us up. It strengthens us. It gives us that help that we need. And it is a sufficient comfort. David lay down and slept. I awaked, he said, for the Lord sustained me. The Lord helped him and gave him that strength he needed. And that same strength, dear believer, the Lord's strength, we can know that. We can know that. Matthew Henry, the commentator, said that in singing this psalm and in praying it, we should possess ourselves with an apprehension of the danger we are in from the multitude and malice of our spiritual enemies who seek the ruin of our souls by driving us from our God. And we should concern ourselves in the distresses and dangers of the Church of God, which is everywhere spoken against, everywhere fought against. But we should encourage ourselves in our God, who owns and protects and will in due time crown his own interest, both in the world and in the hearts of his people. There is encouragement in times of discouragement because of who our God is. May we rejoice in our God. May we rejoice in David's God. And may the Lord strengthen us. May the Lord lift up our discouraged hearts.
and give us encouragement through his truth this night. And Lord bless these few thoughts on this psalm for his name's sake. Amen.